Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, featuring violinist Kyung-Wong Chung and conductor Hans Funk, performing Stravinsky and Tchaikovsky, Ordway and Orchestra Hall, January 12th through 14th, 651-291-1144. Good morning. Welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Catherine Lamfer. If you thought the sticker shock you got paying for gasoline this summer was bad, just take a gander at your heating bill this winter. Natural gas customers have been told by Xcel Energy they can expect bills that are up to 70% higher than this time last year, a combination of frigid weather and nationally tight natural gas supplies. Reliant Energy Minnegasco told its customers that the natural gas price hike is unprecedented. Well, we hope you enjoyed our recent warm streak. Let's hope you heat up the phones as we talk about this energy situation today with Scott Holtz. He's manager of gas supply planning for Minnesota and North Dakota at Xcel Energy. He joins us in the studio. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
And also Jim Bernstein. He is the commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Commerce. He's also in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Scott Holtz, I want to start with you. And let me just speak for all consumers. What happened? Why do we have such higher prices?
Yeah, it's really been a supply and demand situation we've had over the last 3 years. It's been warmer than normal, and demand through the winters, we really didn't see the kind of demand that we're seeing this year. And prices for natural gas were pretty reasonable and low through that period, and producers we're not drilling as much as they are currently, and even already in the last, over the last year, we've seen 40% more drill rigs out there producing gas. So when does
that translate into something that will help consumers?
We in about a year and a half, or 6 to 9 to year and a half, before some of those facilities actually can get the gas to the market.
All right, so in other words, we're not going to see immediate relief in terms of the exploration translating into more supply.
Well, we think we've seen some of it already, but it after December, when we had 20-25% colder than normal, it takes a period of time before we kind of recover even from that and start to have storage inventories build throughout the country. And so it does take really through the winter before we're going to start to see some, building of inventory.
How much higher is the price of natural gas now than it was last year?
The January price is about almost twice the price it was a year ago for a residential customer.
And why is that?
The wholesale price of gas, really, it's just the BTUs are costing a lot more this winter.
Is the wholesale price twice as much as it was a year ago?
Actually, that's even above twice the price. It's probably over three times as high. And so because of the breakdown of, there's really three major components in getting the natural gas to a customer. The first one is the wholesale price, the drilling of the well, the production facilities that get the gas out of the ground. The next is the interstate pipeline transportation system that moves the gas from Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas to Minnesota and also Alberta, Canada. The last segment is the distribution company, and that's the part that Xcel has control over. And so we transport the gas from the edge of the metro area to all the customers, and that's the portion that we have control over, and it's really just that first component that has dramatically increased.
And when you say the first component, you're talking about the drilling?
The actual volume of, mm-hmm. of gas that's available for the market. That's correct.
All right, Commissioner, feel free to jump in here. How does the state regulate how much we pay for our energy? I'm assuming that you're there as sort of a check on some of this. That's why it's regulated, right?
Well, we're a check only on the retail. We have no control over the wholesale prices. Those are deregulated. And what we've seen here is simply a situation where wholesale prices have gotten very high. The utilities are passing those costs on. Literally, every penny is being passed on to us as customers. We have no control or no ability to regulate the wholesale cost of natural gas, nor should we. As far as retail prices go, what we have seen from the energy companies in Minnesota is simply they're passing on the wholesale costs and they're taking the profit that they're allowed, but they're not making anything on this.
Ooh, I'm going to stop you right there because I can envision a lot of consumers sitting bolt up right now saying, they're not making anything on this.
That's true. They're not. They are not. Their prices haven't gone up because they're charging more just for greater profits. They're charging more to cover the cost, the wholesale cost of the natural gas.
Now, but they're allowed to charge certain costs based on the amount of gas that they deliver
true,
to customers.
True.
So, in a way, then, aren't they making something simply because we've had a colder winter and they're if they can charge according to that, aren't they charging us more just for delivering more?
Slightly, but it's not. The cost that those of us who buy natural gas to heat, we are paying a lot more money, more than twice, because the cost of the product itself has gone up. The cost of distribution and the pipelines, those are virtually the same as they were a year ago. Those costs are not the costs that are driving this at all. So in this case, we can't point the finger at the utilities and say they're price gouging or they're profiteering. They are doing what they are allowed to do, and that is passing on the wholesale costs.
Now, I want to turn back to you, Scott Holtz. One thing that's sort of confusing is it isn't that we have a shortage out there, correct?
Right.
Okay, if we don't have a shortage, why is the price going up?
It's in shorter supply. It's not a shortage, but the biggest indicator is the amount of gas in storage. And over this last winter or this last summer, after we came through the injection season when we usually fill up this storage.
I'm going to stop. Injection season? And literally when you inject tanks with...
Yeah, there's most of these underground storage across the nation. This is really, and I'm talking about a national market for natural gas.
Uh-huh.
Because, just to give you a feel for how much XL, Minnesota and North Dakota, is only about less than 0.5% of the national market. So it's really a national market for the gas. The after we came through this last summer, we inject this gas into underground formations that are either depleted wells or some kind of formation that facilitates putting gas in the summer and pulling it out during periods of peak demand in the winter. So we came out of that winter or out of last summer with a lot less gas in storage than we typically have, less than we've had over the last 5 years. And so if we saw colder than normal in the winter and we have less storage in the ground, there's just the people who have that storage in the ground are going to look at the price they're going to sell it for in the winter versus how much they have left in storage and determine what they have to have for it.
Commissioner?
Yeah, I think one other thing, Catherine, that's important too is the demand, because of the cold weather that we've had in November and December, has gone up significantly. We're also using more natural gas to fuel electric generation plants. So demand is very high right now, and that's what's really causing this problem. Even though there's an adequate supply, the demand has just gotten...
Okay, but here's another thing I think is confusing for consumers. You have XL telling their consumers it could be 70% higher than last winter, and then you have Reliant Energy Minnegasco saying, it could be 50% more. Well, gee, I got to move so I get that 20% savings. How does something like that happen?
Well, those are estimates. I mean, these are experts in the marketplace all trying to predict what's going to happen. And so when one says it's going to be 50%, another one's going to be says it's 70%, there's somebody else saying 60 or 67%. But the fact of the matter is from last fall when we saw this coming, the prices have gone up. And so we knew this was going to happen. We knew why it was going to happen. So we have been urging, and I know the utilities as well, for people to conserve, to take steps to cut the amount of natural gas that they use. That is the single biggest thing that people can do. Plus, we've negotiated agreements with the utilities. People aren't going to get their gas shut off as long as they call the utility and they try to work out a payment plan.
We're talking to Jim Bernstein. He's commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Commerce. And we're talking to Scott Holtz. He's the manager of gas supply planning for Minnesota and North Dakota at Xcel Energy. We'd like to be talking to you about what some are calling an impending energy crisis. At the very least, we have sticker shock on our heating bills. We're talking about the natural gas supply. Join our conversation, 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. In the Twin Cities, it's 651 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Now, Commissioner, I saw you flinch when I said energy crisis. It might not be a crisis, but it sure harkens back to those of us who remember the 70s and Jimmy Carter and Dad making you wear sweaters while they turned down the thermostat.
Yes, and I'm old enough to remember those days as well. But crisis in this case, we are not running out of natural gas. Remember what happened back in the 70s, for those that perhaps weren't as old as some of us.
Watch it, Mr. Holtz over there looks really young.
There was an embargo. And so the amount of oil coming in simply wasn't there. In this case, there's no embargo. There is gas. The reserves are not. They're being depleted, but they're also being refilled, so that there's plenty of natural gas out there. The fact is that we have had an unusually cold winter, not just in Minnesota and the Dakotas, but all across the United States. Demand for natural gas has gone much higher than as high as we thought it was going to go. So prices have gone up. But we're not running out of natural gas.
Scott Holtz, we want to turn back to you. What are the other things that affect the bill that I get from Xcel? Is it simply the price of wholesale natural gas that affects my heating bill? Is there anything else that goes into that?
Well, that's the part that has changed dramatically over the last year, is really the wholesale price. Transportation, or the interstate transportation costs, have not changed. There's a percentage of fuel that changes slightly, that moves the gas from Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas to our market area, and that's based on the energy it takes to compress the natural gas to move it, and so it just uses a little bit of the natural gas along the way. So there's been a slight increase in that, but the majority is definitely the wholesale price.
And this is for either of you. Why is it that natural gas prices just seem on a steady increase, but crude oil prices, you know, we've done a couple shows on that, they flop back and forth? Why is that?
Well, again, with natural gas, and I know Scott's got some insight into this as well, that the demand for natural gas has been flat over the last couple of years, and there hasn't been the amount of production going on. With oil, oil is also a commodity. There's a spot market for it as well, and it gets bid up and down. Also, I think with oil, the fact that so much of it is produced outside of the United States, in fact, outside of North America, OPEC is a cartel. There's no such thing as a cartel for natural gas. And so those kinds of artificial prices get imposed on the marketplace, and that affects it a lot.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. You know, with all the natural gas that we get in the nation is all, you know, 90% of it is from the U.S., and the other 10-11% is coming out of Canada. And it all takes major investment in infrastructure to make that gas show up. And so changes in supply just don't happen quite overnight.
Now, he said, well, there's no cartel for natural gas, but of course there's a lot of angry consumers out there. Now, the commissioner has talked about how to respond to allegations of price gouging. How does Xcel Energy talk about it? You guys have to be getting phone calls.
We've certainly had some questions, but it really is, you know, we have a portfolio approach to our purchases. We have, we deal with 30 different suppliers. They're spread throughout, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and then we buy a large chunk of our gas out of Alberta, Canada.
I'll be blunter. How is this not price gouging?
Because it is a very liquid commodity, and the value of the commodity is reflected in the price. Because it's a national market, like any commodity, it's being priced at the places that's valuing the commodity the most. In California, they've been valuing the commodity dramatically more than even the Midwest.
Commissioner, quickly, before we go to call.
Sure. That doesn't mean that there isn't speculation. Natural gas is bought and sold on the open marketplace, so I don't have any doubt that there are some people out there who are speculating on this. However, the utilities in Minnesota, again, have to buy it on that open marketplace. They have to pay the price for it, and so what they're doing is they're passing on the cost to us as consumers. What we're not, if we saw any hint whatsoever that there was price fixing, price gouging, profiteering going on by the utilities, we'd be all over their cases, and they know how fast that can happen. So,
all right. Let's go to Mark in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Morning.
Hi.
It's just hard for me to doubt that there's greed. I mean, it seems to me very obvious that there's a correlation between OPEC and natural prices. I think we want to jump in and make the buck. So It just to me seems very improbable that there isn't a chance here to make some money. I mean, it seems to me that the winter forecasting, there's got to be a few heads hanging low saying, okay, we haven't planned for Minnesota winter. To me, there's a lot of improbables here, yes, but there's also some probables that haven't been taken into effect. Maybe we got lazy for the last couple of winters by having, an easy winter. But to me, it's greed.
Okay, Mark, let's let the commissioner respond.
Well, I don't think it is. In fact, I know it's not greed. And there is, in fact, no connection between the price of natural gas and what OPEC charges for the cost of oil or crude oil. Minnesota winters, yes, in fact, we have been spoiled the last couple of years. I remember last year at this time and the year before, we were all talking about laughing about the benefits of so-called global warming. And we've had two mild winters. And what happened, I think, for a lot of us, myself included, we did get lazy, and the caller's right about that. But where we got lazy is we stopped insulating. We stopped doing energy checks. We stopped making our homes airtight so that natural gas, the heat that was produced by the natural gas, was staying in our homes and not going out through the ceiling or through cracks in the walls. That's where we got lazy.
Yeah, I guess from just the industry perspective, from what we're hearing from producers, for a number of years, producers, they kept reducing their budgets for drilling, and they weren't making much money. And the next year, they'd react to how they did the year before, and they reduced their budget some more, and they just didn't have the money to go out and drill and to know that they're going to make a profit. Well, now certainly they do know that. Since the spring, they've been out there drilling as much as they can, and there is an increase in gas coming. It's just not there yet today.
Let's go to Mary in Stillwater. Mary, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Yes.
Hi.
There's two little items that have enraged me every time I hear them. One is the naming of the hockey arena, the XL Energy Center. Now, I can see Target buying the rights for that. Target has competition. They have Walmart. They have Kmart. But where else am I going to buy my natural gas besides XL Energy? Excuse me. I think that was kind of a waste of their money and my money. And the other thing is they've tacked a buck fee on for paying your bill. At if you don't take their budget saver helper plan, you're socked with an extra buck on that too, which seems like a tax to pay for that stupid arena naming. So, those are factors. Every time I hear the hockey is going to be at the XL Energy Center, I just get outraged. So how much did that cost, and then how much is that adding into the cost?
All right, Scott Holtz.
Yeah, the cost for the arena was not paid by natural gas customers. It was paid for by XL shareholders.
What's the difference? When you say that it was paid for by shareholders, I mean, don't those shareholders get their profit from people who pay their gas bill?
They get, of that profit, that's what they spent to purchase that, those naming rights. And of course, for XL, the strategy behind naming an arena was due to competition is coming to the industry, and not so much the natural gas, but on the electric side, there's across the nation much more competition appears to be on the horizon.
Commissioner?
Well, I can't comment on the arena specifically, but I do want to just add that competition is not a given with electric rates in Minnesota. Only about half the states have gone to a deregulated open marketplace, and Minnesota will be looking at that. There'll be hearings in the legislature this year, but it's a long way from being a done deal.
Well, so. I was just going to say, let's talk for a quick minute about deregulation. There has been some comment in the press from consumers who see links between their high energy bills, the shortage, and the quest for deregulation by utilities. Well, let's start with, what is deregulation? What does that mean?
Well, there's different levels, and you want to shift the gears now to electric, where the discussion is really taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Natural gas wholesale prices are deregulated. There is no controlling authority. Retail prices are regulated here. In Minnesota, electric utilities petitioned the Public Utilities Commission of Minnesota for pricing, and the Public Utilities Commission, in effect, sets what they can charge. Minnesota historically and continues to be one of the lowest cost states for electric. There are some people out there who are trying to bring deregulation to Minnesota who want it to happen and actually make the pricing any kind of pricing structure go away. Just let the marketplace set it.
Well, hey, but let's look at this. I mean, if I'm a consumer, if you have regulation, and that means that we have some of the lowest electricity prices, we have deregulation for the wholesale price of natural gas, and we have whopping huge bills, isn't that an argument for regulation?
Well, that's one of the arguments that is being made, is that who is benefiting by this? And all I have to say is California, and no one's benefiting in California. Some other states like Illinois, it's been the very largest consumers, the big industrial consumers are benefiting, but the residential and small business, in fact, aren't. So if we go to deregulation in Minnesota, it's our position that if big consumers are going to benefit, then residential and small business must also benefit.
Scott Holtz, he mentioned California. Do we have some sense of how we're doing compared to the rest of the country when it comes to the shortage and it comes to the prices? Are we better off? Are we worse?
Typically, looking back over history, natural gas prices in the state of Minnesota have also been some of the lowest in the country. And even into this winter, we're still situated. Much of the reason for the competitiveness of our gas prices is because we happen to be between Canada and the producing area, and can, wherever it is cheapest, we have that opportunity to work both ends of those. So it still continues to be very competitive.
Let's go to John. He's calling us from Bruton. John, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I think there was a previous caller, who mentioned greed, personal, corporate, or otherwise. I'm going to try to play the optimist and say that that is not, the case in the fact that the rates are going up. But I think this is very indicative of a general fault that a lot of American corporations have, and that is the not having a plan that extends more than 2 or 3 years. When you look at Eastern businesses, at Asian businesses and corporations, these businesses have, in whatever industry, have 10, 20, 30-year plans, and when you have a corporation that deals in such a vital part of our existence, hope I'm not being too dramatic about that, but when it comes to that, not having a plan that extends, 2 years seems to be rather foolish. We live, speaking very locally, we live in Minnesota. I mean, my God, the winters, we had a really easy break for 2 years in a row. 2 or 3 years prior to that, we were in the 40 below range for, 3, 4, or 5 days at a stretch, and this should be a very, very clear point in making a long-term business plan, and I think that might have something to do with why we have such a great shortage.
Okay, thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Commissioner?
Well, the utilities do have to file integrated resource plans every year with the Public Utilities Commission and with the department, so I can't fault them.
Integrated resource plan?
Good point. Essentially, what they have to do is they have to tell us what are they planning on doing to provide for supply and demand issues, and how are they accounting for the money that we as ratepayers give them. So they do plan, and in fact, I can't criticize them in this case for not planning, because they were planning on this last summer, and they could see what was happening. Natural gas is a commodity. It has to be stored. If it's not in the ground or it's not in the pipeline, you have to store it someplace, and there's only a finite amount of space to store it. But, Scott, perhaps you want to...
Yeah, just a description of, the capability. You can only, because of the physical characteristics of the storage fields, you can only put so much in one day. The transportation system can only move so much at one day. And so it's unlike an oil tank or something like that. You can't fill it up and take it out as quick, because you could risk damaging your physical structure. And so that some of those constraints... kind of force, the way that we haven't had a quick fix, basically, to solve that. And talking about longer term planning from the natural gas perspective, we certainly do provide for the deliverability and capability of meeting and keeping all the homes with gas in our market area, and much of our pricing follows the market price for the commodity. And so that we have had adequate supplies, but the price has certainly increased.
That's Scott Holtz. He's the manager of gas supply planning for Minnesota and North Dakota at XL Energy. We're also talking to Jim Bernstein. He's commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Commerce. We'd like to be talking to you about your heating bill and the natural gas supply. It's 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. If you're in the Twin Cities, you'd like to join this conversation, it's 651-227-6000. 651-227-6000. I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning. We're going to turn now to Greta Cunningham. She's standing by with the latest from the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.
Thanks, Catherine, and good morning. President-elect Bush is hosting a meeting of congressional leaders today to talk about his defense plans. Bush aides are dealing with the disclosure that Labor Secretary-designate Linda Chavez once provided housing and financial aid to an illegal immigrant. A spokesman says President-elect Bush still has absolute confidence in Chavez. Ford has apologized to a Texas woman who was injured when an Explorer with Firestone tires rolled over. The apology is part of a settlement with Donna Bailey, whose $100 million suit against Ford and Firestone was supposed to go to trial this week. The Washington Post is reporting American Airlines will announce this week that it's buying the financially troubled TWA Airlines. Sources say American would drop the TWA name, which is the oldest continuous name in American commercial aviation. The U.S. Embassy in Rome is open again. Officials reopened the compound to the public today, 3 days after they sent workers home following a terrorist threat. The trial of two Libyans in the 1988 bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 is winding down, 8 months after it began. Testimony concluded today, and closing arguments are set to begin tomorrow in a special Scottish court in the Netherlands. The bombing over Lockerbie, Scotland, killed 270 people. In regional news, a Senate panel gets an update today on how far along school districts are in the profile of learning. Officials from the Department of Children, Families, and Learning plan to discuss the graduation standards and other school issues before the Senate Education Committee. Metro area Hmong women are gathering today at the Minnesota Historical Society to discuss research in Hmong oral history. The Hmong Women's Oral History Project is based on interviews with 18 Hmong women, three from six families and representing three generations. There are an estimated 70,000 Hmong living in Minnesota. The forecast for Minnesota today calls for cloudy skies statewide. Light snow or flurries are possible in the south this afternoon. Some sunshine is possible this afternoon statewide, with highs ranging from 15 to 25 degrees. Right now, some light snow is falling in Rochester, a temperature of 16, clear skies in Duluth and 9 above. And in the Twin Cities, partly cloudy skies, a temperature of 17 degrees. That's a look at the latest news.
For information about becoming a member of Minnesota Public Radio, call 1-800-227-2811. Thanks.
From the latest polls.
A recent poll shows 20% of drivers prefer the meters off, 9%.
To the South Pole.
I always tell people this is probably the greatest winter camping that you can have, which is summertime on Antarctica.
Explore the news on All Things Considered weekdays at 3 on Minnesota Public Radio, KNOW FM 91.1 in the Twin Cities.
I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning here on Minnesota Public Radio. A couple of reminders for you this morning. First of all, we have a seat reserved for you at the Fitzgerald Theater this Thursday, 6:45 p.m. We want to see you there for the next edition of Talking Volumes. That's the joint book club run by Minnesota Public Radio, the Star Tribune, and the Loft Literary Center. This edition of Talking Volume, we are featuring Bill Holm. He is the Bard of Minneota, Minnesota. We'll be talking about his 1996 book, The Heart Can Be Filled Anywhere on Earth. It's recently been reissued in paperback, and this is a loving and amusing, I mean, I dare say humorous look at memory, failure, loss, and Minneota, Minnesota. We even have a piano on stage. We're going to try to get Bill to tickle the ivories, if you will, at the same time talking about his work, reading from his books. We would love to have you join us. It's going to be a live broadcast, but we need you in your chair by 6:45 p.m. this Thursday. Hope we see you there. Also, want to remind you, a few minutes after 10 this morning, we'll be talking about outgoing drug czar Barry McCaffrey's recent report on drug use in this country. We have 5 million chronically addicted Americans. Youth drug use is on the rise. Why? Well, we'll find out a few minutes after 10. Meanwhile, we're continuing our conversation today with Scott Holtz, Manager of Gas Supply Planning for Minnesota and North Dakota at Xcel Energy, and Jim Bernstein. He's Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Commerce. We're talking about that high heating bill of yours. We'd like to have you join this conversation. And also want to remind you that if you need more information on the increasing cost of energy, maybe you have some questions and you can't get through this morning, go to minnesotapublicradio.org. And you can get more information. We've put together a special site for you. All right. If you'd like to join this conversation, 1-800-242-2828 in the Twin Cities. It is 651-227-6000. Let's go to Robert in Champlin. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Okay, good.
I'm a little dismayed that the gas prices have gone up so much in energy in general. But the part that I find so interesting is whenever the government creates a plan to solve the problem, when the plan starts to succeed, they turn around and destroy it. Two prime examples would be, and while I was living in Southern California when solar energy really started to take off, and the state turned around and passed a solar energy panel tax. The state had no involvement in it. They didn't have to do anything, and the people were collecting sunshine, and the state wanted to tax them. So that killed the solar energy industry for residential homes. And then we've got the deal, especially here in Minnesota, but it goes nationwide, where people were starting to telecommute. They didn't have to drive. They didn't have to use up all that energy. And then OSHA comes out and says the employer is responsible for what goes on in your house. Now, as somebody who employs somebody, how am I supposed to be responsible for what goes on in somebody else's house? And the solution to that is I'm not going to have people telecommute because I'm not going to get sued because you fell down your stairs and broke your leg.
So, Robert, and the connection of this to energy prices is what?
When you turn around and you destroy people's motivation like they did to the guy in Texas, they had the energy laws in the 70s that said,
Robert, I need you to be really succinct in your point here.
I'll make my point real quick.
Okay.
When you invest in alternative energy, the money that you invest will be tax-free and the profits will be tax-free. And then one of the people that did that very successfully, the government turned around and sued him for evading taxes.
All right. Thanks, Robert. But we are talking, of course, about government efforts to. I mean, I think that was Robert's point.
Well, we don't. If someone wants to put in an energy efficient furnace or water heater, there's no special tax on that. If people want to put in more insulation, which we strongly encourage, no tax on that. We don't tax people in here for trying to conserve energy.
Well, actually, it also strikes me that this is an opportunity to talk about. I mean, what is that they're out there to help people try to conserve energy in their homes?
Well, number of things. I know Scott's got some ideas to it, but first of all, I mean, one of the things that we have been advising people is simply by taking one step, and that is turning your thermostat down from 65 to 60 degrees in the evening saves about 25% of your energy cost. Just a simple step like that. Other things as far as insulation, weatherproofing, these are things that we've been talking about for the last 20 years. And an earlier caller talked about us getting lazy. We did. We stopped doing those things. But those are some real simple steps that people can do right now.
Yeah, and you're certainly going to get cover your costs for doing that. And, I agree with Jim, certainly.
All right, let's go to Duane in St. Cloud. Duane, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Uh-huh.
I was calling because I have to question strongly the motives. I think you had brought up about price gouging. In the city of St. Cloud, we had suspicion when it came to gas prices artificially being increased in our area in lieu of the Twin Cities and other area based on supply and demand. And I think as long as the price is there, they're trying to get that. With that in mind, Becker is a unique situation and has certain franchise with the electric company and certain benefits, and I wonder how the prices affect them, as well as there is Stearns County Co-op. Has that a value of that natural gas affected them? Because I'm looking right now at my electric and gas bill, and it pretty much has gone up twice. It's doubled, and gas in particular has tripled since last year. And I do set my thermostat at 62, but that can get a little bit nippy, and I think 60 or 58 or 55 is pushing it. And I wonder how that also affected the same look at wholesale prices when we're looking at milk or cable franchise and so on. And NSP used to be the owner, and I wondered if that change of ownership has a great impact on this as well.
Well, let's take that last question first.
Was that the change of ownership for the, or just the name change and our merger of the company, potentially? I guess if I understand that, you know, the costs, the impact of natural gas cost changes on generating electricity for NSP has not been necessarily dramatic, because there isn't a large percentage that is used to generate in our territory in Minnesota and North Dakota. However, the general market that they have to purchase kilowatts from has increased as the price of natural gas has gone up, because other generation is fired by natural gas, and the cheapest stuff on the grid is what we'd be purchasing, and if the whole level has gone up, that is being passed on.
You know, he was mentioning a rate agreement in his earlier part of his comments. I mean, there are companies and there are government systems that have agreements that say we'll get our energy for less, knowing that there's an interruption agreement. I understand that these things are going on in the state where you get a cheaper price, but you also are told, hey, supply gets short, you're going to have to use something else. How is that having an impact in the state?
Well, for natural gas, we have, you know, a lot of our largest customers are interruptible customers, and so they pay less all through the year for the guarantee that when it gets cold and we need gas to serve our firm market, they agree to go off of natural gas. And much of that is for the resources that are locally controlled or for underground storage that we have. You know, we have costs on an annual basis that we have to recover. And so those are covered by our firm customers. And our interruptible customers, since they agree not to use the gas during the peak demand, they don't pay for those incremental resources. However, they do pay for the interstate transportation that they use and local distribution that they do use.
Okay, let's go to James in St. Paul. James, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. My question is that, you know, due to the increases, why do the gas companies have to drop such a big load on people when the weather got tough? Then they say, okay, let's jack the price up. When everybody's already struggling to try to meet their gas prices already with their home heating, and then they say turn the thermostat down, and that doesn't do any good, but you're still jacking the price up. So, you know, why couldn't they do this over a period of time? Why do you always have to throw everything on people struggling already, such a big load?
All right.
I mean, every time something goes about, they would just say, forget it about the poor person or the inconsiderate person, and just throw it all in at one time. They don't need to survive. Does that make sense?
Oh, well, let's have Scott Holtz take a crack at this.
Yeah, I think what we'd encourage our customers to do is, if they haven't opted for the budget billing payment plan, that does spread their costs over a one-year period. And so the company estimates, you know, what is the annual or the monthly amount that makes sense instead of having one month that's dramatically higher than the others. And so that does spread out those costs. But the fact is that we, you know, the cost for the commodity, the BTUs, is more expensive right now. And it makes sense to pass those costs through at the time when they are the most valuable.
We're going to go to Ned in Minneapolis. Ned, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I'm wondering why the commissioner hasn't acted more in the public interest in helping to deny the power generation companies this clean burning gas that they like to use, because they can meet the clean air standards quickly and cheaply, as opposed to using coal, which is very abundant and cheap, but they have to install scrubbers and other equipment to clean the air up. You know, this gas that we have is just a wonderful fuel, but it's much more suited to domestic home use than it is an industrial site like power generation.
Well, thank you for calling. Companies, whether they're industrial users or anything else, have the option to choose what kind of fuel they wish to use. And ironically, there's a conundrum here because we need to create more electric generation in the state of Minnesota, especially by the end of the decade. How are we going to do that? Coal is certainly one option. Nuclear is another option. Natural gas, however, because it is a very clean, efficient fuel, and the supply of natural gas is actually very good. A number of these new peaking plants that are coming online, not only in Minnesota but across the United States, are using natural gas simply because it is an environmentally friendly fuel. It's reasonable, was reasonably priced, and even though the prices are going to go up, but we still need electric energy as well. So I'm not going to ever tell anybody, an industrial user, you can't use natural gas, you have to use something else. And the irony is, as we're trying to encourage companies to build electric generation in Minnesota, natural gas is one of the fuels that's available, and for good reasons.
Let's go to Fred. He's calling us from Clearwater. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you. Yeah. I have three real short questions that I'll take up my answer off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, how is propane made? Number two, is there a performance difference between propane and natural gas? And number three, is there price regulation on propane? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Fred.
I can take the first two, and Jim, if you want to talk about price regulation of propane. But propane is a refined product. There is some propane that when you produce natural gas, some liquids come with it. And those liquids are stripped out at the processing plant in the production areas of the U.S., and then they're gathered together and sold as, you know, propane, ethane, butane. And so it is a manufactured product, and even refineries that are refining crude oil generate some propane. And so much of the propane in Minnesota, there are propane pipelines also that transport it around the nation. The performance differential between propane and natural gas, 1 gallon of propane has about 92,000 BTUs in it, and one therm of natural gas has 100,000 BTUs.
I got to make a stop because, you know, I don't use phrases like therm and BTU every day.
Yeah.
So that's all right. So, but what are you trying to say here? Is one of them more effective, more efficient than the other? Provides more BTUs?
Not particularly. It's just what is the cost per BTU is what it comes down to, and that's a measure of efficiency, and what's cheaper.
And so what's cheaper?
And over the last several years, natural gas has been cheaper than propane. And in a month like January, when natural gas is at its peak, this particular year, other years we've seen propane higher, but it just depends where you're buying your propane. And
I confess, when I think of propane, I think of outdoor grills. So is propane actually something you could use to heat your home?
Some customers do,
uh-huh.
And the majority of them, if natural gas is available, it makes sense to use that because there's a very efficient system is used to move the product from the mid-continent of the U.S. to a person's home.
It sounds like what the point of the caller was, is propane an alternative we should be looking at when we have these skyrocketing natural gas prices? And your answer would be?
Not for a long term.
Okay.
I agree. The caller also asked about whether propane prices are regulated, and they are not. We don't regulate propane prices. They are traded as a commodity, just like natural gas. The price of propane, however, is very closely linked to the price of crude oil. One thing about propane, its major use in Minnesota is actually for agricultural use, for drying of crops. So,
we are talking to Jim Bernstein. He's commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Commerce. And we're talking to Scott Holtz, manager of gas supply planning for Minnesota and North Dakota at Xcel Energy. We're talking to them about heating costs, energy costs, the situation with the supply of natural gas, and what you thought when you saw your heating bill this month. It's 1-800-242-2828. 1-800-242-2828. In the Twin Cities, it's 651-227-6000. 651-227-6000. Let's go to Beth. She's calling us from Elk River. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you, Catherine. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I would like to ask the commissioner if he could give me any specific information on his stand or the state's stand on alternative energies such as wind and solar. When the state is finally going to start investing in some real research and development and hopefully get to the point where there's maybe some tax incentives. I think it's just crazy that we are chasing all these fossil fuels, you know, at the expense of the consumer and our earth and our environment. And, you know, now with Bush talking about raiding all the federal lands. I mean, I'm really fed up with it. I want to hear somebody talk intelligently about alternative energies and alternative options that we as consumers have. And I hold our state government accountable to providing us some of those options, and they're not. They're not even talking about it. I don't want to hear about turning my thermostat down 4 degrees. I want to know what we can do as consumers to move into a future that we can see 20 years from now or 30 years from now, not 2 years from now,
okay,
like the guy from NSP was talking about.
All right. Well, let's give the commissioner a chance to respond, Ben.
Thank you for the call, because I spent the last 6 months actually tramping around the state of Minnesota talking about alternative energy. And this administration, the Ventura administration, we are big supporters of wind energy. The capacity out on Buffalo Ridge, southwestern Minnesota, several hundred megawatts right now. We're optimistic that by the end of the decade, that can be probably closer to 2,000, and perhaps by the end of 2020, we could be up around 4,000 megawatts. So we are committed to supporting wind energy. It is very much part of the mix as we look at this electric energy situation by the end of the decade. With regard to solar, that's another technology. It has gotten a lot of play. The Department of Commerce, the Ventura administration, are solidly behind the development of solar. There are a number of private sector companies out there who do install solar panels, who do work with customers who want to install solar, and believe me, we encourage that. I also want to, going back to another caller, we don't tax any of those kinds of things either. In Minnesota, both the public sector and the private sector encourage those kinds of fuels. We're going as fast as we can. We can't just arbitrarily build more wind, or can't order it installed, but people in southwest Minnesota, landowners in southwest Minnesota, are interested in building those wind generation, and the state is certainly behind it completely. So,
let's go to Steve in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid-Morning. Hi, Steve. Oh, let's try that. There we go. Hello, Steve. Steve? We're not doing very well today. Let's go ahead and try Dwayne in Vadnais Heights. Dwayne, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I have a question about advertising by Xcel. I realize this is kind of a legal monopoly, so to speak. Why is Xcel Energy advertising on TV, and why did they spend millions of dollars putting their name on a sender? I mean, we have to pay for this some way or another. Why are we paying for this extra advertising?
Yeah, thanks for the call. This is, it's a common question, and like I guess I mentioned earlier in the program, that it's really out of the profits that we, as a distribution company, there's the percentage of return that we get, and out of those dollars are really where the advertising budget is put together. The reason for the advertising was to get the news out that the energy company had changed. We had merged with a company out of Denver and wanted to let customers know that we've changed our name. We're still going to be the same company we've been. We want to continue to provide the level of service that customers are used to and the energy that they depend on. And we just wanted to really let people know that, and that there are going to, the changes that are going to occur. We did agree to a rate freeze for the local distribution company until the year 2003 as a result of that merger. And those, the continued quality product, we just wanted to let people know what's going to be there in the future.
We're going to go to Bill in Minneapolis. Bill, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Yeah, you were talking about alternative energies. I don't know why they don't talk more about geothermal. I have a geothermal heat pump, and I've had it in my house since 82. I got 1,680 square feet, and last month my bill was $78. I had a $15 power cost adjustment. That's for my regular electric and the heat pump. So those rates haven't moved, and I looked on a chart this morning, and a heat pump, ground source heat pump's 300% efficient at 5 cents a kilowatt, which all the utilities and NSP even has for a heat pump. It's about $4.60 a million BTU, and a high-efficient propane or gas furnace, natural gas, was $9 a million BTU, and propane was $17 a million BTU. So.
Okay, I have to ask, what's a geothermal unit?
It's another way. It basically replaces a furnace, and it uses the heat from the ground. And geothermal or ground source heat pumps are an excellent option here in Minnesota, and they tend to be expensive to install initially, but over the number of years you can save substantially, like the caller is doing, on the cost of actually the energy. But there is a fairly expensive initial outlay.
Yeah, what are we talking? I think a lot of people might be at home right now going.
Scott, I mean, several thousand. More industrial, industrial and multi-use buildings are using them, but it's an option. It's a technology that's out there. And call your utility.
Let's go to Peggy in St. Paul. Peggy, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you for taking my phone call.
Uh-huh.
I have a problem with, it was NSP at the time. I was on Budget Helper, supposedly trying to help me manage my budget. But when I got to the cleanup month, I got a $600 bill. So I don't see how that helps me manage my budget. And when I called to complain this month, or my husband called to complain, because our bill went from $199 to $433, that was a suggestion. And I'm thinking, that's not really very helpful.
Right. The I know there has been some issues, and it's been difficult necessarily to predict how much usage a customer will use over the next year. And so there has been what is the goal is to evaluate those bills every 3 months and then adjust them if possible. And unfortunately, with the changes in energy prices that were, you know, they have exceeded what was forecasted by quite a bit, that has occurred. But hopefully in the the ideal is that we'd be able to smooth that out to some extent, and hopefully that would help.
Okay, and the time we have left, when will we see relief, Scott Holtz?
Our estimate is that if we could have some warmer than normal weather coming on through the end of the winter here, that would certainly help. We could see recovery sooner rather than later. Going into the summer, if it's tremendously warmer than normal, also all that electric generation across the country that uses natural gas would continue to put pricing pressure on it. So before really the supply catches up with demand, it could be either after next winter or even this summer.
All right. Quickly, when do you think we're going to see relief?
Well, the good news is that February is usually warmer than January. March is warmer than February. April is warmer than March. So we're... You know, that's temperatures get warmer here as we get into February. That's the best thing that we can have happen. And then Scott's absolutely right. If we get a relatively mild summer where we don't have to use a lot of peaking energy, we'll be in much better conditions. But they're continuing to drill. They're drilling like rabbits in western United States and western Canada. Supply is going to get better, but it could take 18 months. But weather is the big determining factor.
All right. I want to thank you both for being here. Scott Holtz, thanks for being here today.
You're welcome.
Scott Holtz, Manager of Gas Supply Planning for Minnesota and North Dakota at Xcel Energy. And Jim Bernstein, thanks for coming by today.
Thank you, Catherine.
Jim Bernstein, he's the Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Commerce. I, of course, want to remind you that if you need more information on the increasing cost of energy and what you can do about it, go to our website, minnesotapublicradio.org.